Welcome to Rhema for Today.
And you just sort of had, I didn't know as much then as I know now, because see, I'm talking about 40 years ago. And you do learn a few things in 40-year period, you know. But I just had a witness. I remembered afterwards, I had an inward intuition about this one certain woman. I think she's the first one that volunteered. And I just sort of wish you hadn't. Now, she was the most educated person in our church as far as university education was concerned, intellectual education was concerned, but had the least sense of anybody. Amen. I had actually people in the church that couldn't read nor write, couldn't write their name, somebody that had more sense than she had.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, What Jesus Taught About Prayer, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
You could open your Bibles again today, where we left off at the 9th chapter of Matthew. We'll just briefly look at that, and then we'll go a little further. We're talking about right now what Jesus said about prayer. Now here, in this 9th chapter of Matthew, the 35th verse says, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. If you don't know anything else to pray about, well, here's something the Bible emphatically tells you to pray for. We noticed two things from studying here in Matthew, what Jesus said about prayer. We found two things that he said to pray for. He said, in Matthew 5:44, the latter part of the verse, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Don't talk about them, pray for them. And that don't mean pray that judgment will fall on them. Amen. That's not the right attitude. Pray that the blessings of God will come upon them. Now, it does more for you than it does for them. Amen. But it'll also do something for them. Now, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers. We have to realize, as I said yesterday, when it comes to individuals, as well as nations, and different people, that certain ones can reach certain ones. Everybody's not going to reach everybody. Amen. A lot of times I discovered this, and I told you yesterday, and I'm going into it again today, that so much of the time we just pick up with habits, spiritual habits, just like we do natural habits, and practices from others. And we just pray, well, Lord, save the lost. But that doesn't do much good. About all that does is just sort of salve your conscience that you prayed for the lost. You know, actually, there's nothing really, and that came as a real shock to me when the Lord pointed that out to me, that there's nothing in the New Testament that said, pray for sinners that they'll be saved. Or even pray for lost loved ones that they'll be saved. But it does tell us, pray that the Lord, you see, of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I pointed out that one of my relatives, you know, prayed for years, fasted. In fact, all of them that I'd prayed for, if it had ever done any good, I couldn't tell it. But the minute I started doing this, I got results. I said, now, Lord, and usually you can't deal with your own kin folks, and usually it's not wise to. Now, you understand there are exceptions to every rule. But most of the time, you're not able to deal with your own folks. Most of the time, they won't listen to you anyway. Because, like I said, if they do, you know, well, then they're going to admit that you know more than they did. So the majority of time, you understand, it's not always true, but the majority of time, you can't deal with your own folks. And I know that's what the Lord spoke to me. He said, this particular relative, you can't deal with him. He wouldn't listen to you anyway, so don't try to talk to him, because I intended to do it. He said, don't do it. You know, I think in personal work and witnessing, we ought to learn to listen to the Holy Ghost. Listen to him that's in us. Amen. And so I never said a word to him then. The Lord said to me, now you do just what I told you to do. You see, he's part of the harvest, isn't he? Every sinner's a part of the harvest. You pray. And so I just said, now, Lord, I don't know who it is, but you know whoever it is. There's someone that can witness to him, that can cross his pathway, that he'll listen to. I don't know who it is, but you do. So I'm going to ask you to do it. Well, in my own spirit, I heard the Lord say, all right, I'll do it. So to me, that settled. It's no easy masking it again. Within 3 days' time, and I'd been praying for years for the person, nothing happened. But within 3 days' time, somebody crossed his pathway. God sent somebody that could witness to him. And his life was changed. Well, now, let's do things the way God said to do it. So that's not only true concerning individuals, but that's true concerning groups, that's true concerning cities, that's true concerning nations. And so we need to take upon our hearts and, Lord, you send the people there. Some people, bless their hearts, I made mention of this in teaching in our classes here at the school, and teaching on ministry gifts and so on and so forth, and getting on other, off on side issues, that I'm well satisfied. See, I pastored nearly 12 years. And you know, we a lot of times in churches, and we did that some, this particular church, we had a visitation program. And we just sort of, witnessing program I'm talking about. And we just sort of divided the city off in sections, you know. I don't know why, but so much of the time, some of those folks that are the least equipped for that kind of ministry will volunteer first. And you just sort of had, I didn't know as much then as I know now, because see, I'm talking about 40 years ago. And you do learn a few things in 40-year period, you know. But I just had a witness. I remembered afterwards, I had an inward intuition about this one certain woman. I think she's the first one that volunteered. And I just sort of wish she hadn't. Now, she was the most educated person in our church as far as university education was concerned, intellectual education was concerned, but had the least sense of anybody. Amen. I had actually people in the church that couldn't read nor write, could write their name, somebody that had more sense than she had. So I remember one of our ladies, fine lady, bless her heart, she was the type of woman that could, she didn't have all the intellectual ability, and she had never been to university, did graduate from high school, and that's about it, I think. But she's the type of person that could talk to the President of the United States, or she could talk to the janitor. Just had that ability about her. And so the part of town where she was visiting was different than where she lived. But there was, and this other lady is talking about, was there in that part of town where she lived. But there was a man that had had a stroke, a neighbor, and had become bedfast. And so this lady would visit them. And so when she went to visit them, and really she hadn't said up till now anything much to them about the Lord. Sometimes you have to sort of, you know, follow your spirit and just gradually work on to something. You don't just come on, you know, like a storm. And so she was telling me, she said, you know, because she's a very fine woman, didn't talk about people or anything, but she said, Brother Hagin said, I'll tell you, said, you know, we're going to have to do something. I mean, just that this dear woman just playing havoc everywhere she went. I went to visit these folks, and I began to talk to them. I'd visited them before about the Lord, and said to all they could talk about was, who was that old hag from your church? Well, I had to try to smooth it over. Now, like I said, intellectually speaking, she had more education than anyone in the church, but had the least wisdom. And so she went into that home, these people, you see, that need to get saved, know nothing about God, really, know nothing about our church. And instead of talking about Jesus, she got to talking to him about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking other tongues. Well, they don't need to know anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking other tongues. They need to know about Jesus and salvation, the new birth, don't they? The other will come later on.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. We're offering Kenneth Hagin's book, God's Greater Glory, Bring Revival to This Generation. Next is Lynette Hagin's 3-CD series entitled, If I Can, You Can. Last but not least is Denise Hagin Burns' CD, Deep Roots in God. All these items are for the special price of only $35. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Denise Hagin Burns.
We have camp meeting.
Yes.
July 19th through the 24th. It's right here on the Rhema USA campus, and it's free.
Yes, and you can go to rhema.org. And /CM and get all the information about the camp meeting. And there's something else going on while camp meeting's going on.
Yes.
And that you're in charge of.
Yeah, so at camp meeting, you know, it's like a vacation for the whole family. You get fed spiritually and have a lot of fun. We have children's ministry for infants through fifth graders, but we have an amazing youth blitz conference for 6th through 12th grade.
Yes.
There's about 600 teenagers that gather together for services at 10 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. And, you know, we have an amazing lineup of speakers. We end it with a water baptism. It's always a fabulous time.
Yes, come on out. Hey, go right now and get yourself ready to be here for this great conference.
Call 1-888-FAITH-99. That's toll free, 1-888-FAITH-99. Tomorrow, Kenneth E. Hagin will continue his series, What Jesus Taught About Prayer. That's tomorrow on Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.